Okay, so we are towards the end of the Yosef and the brothers' story. I don't know if you remember, there was for a couple of weeks, around a month ago, there was this nice couple from Las Vegas. So Jerry, who lives in Las Vegas, apparently has listened to all of my classes. And she decided at some point that my favorite character is Yosef. And once she told me, I said, okay, I guess it's true. So I'm not sure if she's going to agree by the time we finish today. Uh-oh. So that's foreshadowing. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, source number one. Yehuda comes over, and again, there's been a great deal of manipulation. Yosef, well, let's put it this way. The brothers have a great deal of difficulty, and they're really in dire straits at this point. They've been caught red-handed. They talk too much. I mean, that's something that we've noticed right away. They talk too much. From the very beginning, they always talk too much. If there are any lawyers in the room, if there's any lawyers over here, then we should certainly be giving advice. When they say you have the right to remain silent, it's a good idea. Keep it. Any of you, if you get arrested, please don't speak. Don't say anything. Because anything that you say can and will be used against you. I mean, there's a reason they say this. But the brothers just talk too much. I said it's from the very beginning, from the first moment they meet Yosef. But on the other hand, Yosef is a master manipulator. I guess we've started already then, right? Yosef is a master manipulator. And Yosef puts them in pressure situations. And every single thing that Yosef has done, and I will admit this is not boasting, this is just trying to do my job. I have tried to work through every single thing that Yosef says and every single action that he does. And I think we could go backwards and we could spend a lot of time trying to, but everything he does is for a reason. There's nothing over here which is haphazard. Yosef puts enormous pressure on them. He knows what to say to them. He knows how to say it to them. He knows when to say it to them. There are things that he does to them which just sort of breaks them down. And some of the things we don't realize as he's doing it even, which means there's a lot of setups going on. Did you realize when he put the money in the bag the first time, is he setting them up for putting the cup in the second time? But when he puts the money in the first time, he's also saying to them, hold it, jarring the memories. Didn't you ever walk away with money and leave a brother behind before? So he's doing things to them. And when he sits them around in order, in age order, and they all notice, and they're all shocked. Did you notice also when he searches through their bag, he searches through the same order from the oldest to the youngest? Which means there are setups going on over here, and they don't even begin to understand the level that Yosef is operating and the things that he's doing. And I'm going to say it again, the pressure that he puts them under. Now, the speech of Yehuda is, if those of you remember, in 2013, we had a whole talk, yes? Anybody remember? I remember. We had a whole discussion on analyzing the entire speech that Yehuda gave, and we came to a conclusion that almost no word that came out of Yehuda's mouth during that speech was truthful, if you judge truth in terms of content, but if you judge truth in terms of emotion, then every word that he said was absolutely heartfelt and true. But sometimes when you feel real emotions, you can't really say what's true. Because if you say what's true, you're going to get into a great deal of trouble. Which means Yehuda feels a great deal of guilt, and the person who has made sure that he feels a great deal of guilt is Yosef. Which means basically, and this is also a term that I used back then, even before taking notes in an essay I wrote in 2009, was that Yosef is a tour guide of a guilt trip. Right? That's what Yosef did. That's who Yosef is. And Yosef makes them feel very, very vulnerable. Why? Okay, that's a good question. But Yosef, first, in order to be able to do tshuva, if you want to be nice to Yosef, she's trying to be nice and saying, wasn't he trying to get them to do tshuva? But the only way you can get someone to do tshuva when there is hakarat hachet, when there is a recognition of guilt. So the first thing you need is the guilt trip. And then, right? But I'm saying, 22 years have gone by. How many times of those 22 years were they going grazing with their sheep? And one says to the other, you know what? What we did to Yosef was really, really, really bad. Or did that conversation never take place? Which means something has happened over here, which has jarred their memory, which has shaken them to the core, which has made them feel incredibly guilty, and that thing which happened to them is called Yosef. Yosef is the one. Yosef is what happened to them, but they don't know that it's Yosef who's happened to them. They don't know what's going on. And as we ended last week's parsha, we had our absurd negotiations, which was foreshadowing for Israeli governments throughout history of always over-offering compared to what is on the table. And therefore, they right away offer that whoever's bag it's in will be put to death, the rest will be slaves, which is an enormously dumb thing to say, considering the last time you left here, something was put in your bag without you knowing, which means that objectively, right, objectively, you know that you don't have control what's in your bag, unless you really fell for it. Remember when they came back the second time and they said, we found the money in our bag. And the head of Joseph's house said to them, your God must have given you a present. You won the lottery. So did they really believe that? Did they really walk away? Really, God loves us so much. We just won the lottery. Or, by the way, this is Occam's razor, right? There's a more logical explanation for this. By the way, what they don't realize is that everything's a setup. It was a setup. So to say, and they say this in one sentence, how can you accuse us of theft when the first time money was in our bag, we came back and we returned it? Which, of course, the cynic can say, of course you returned it because you wanted to buy more food and you were afraid you'd get arrested immediately for stealing the money last time. And then to continue that sentence and say, therefore, whoever's bag it is, you put to death, and the rest of us will be slaves. And then the counteroffer is, no, whoever did it will be a slave, the rest of you go free. And the counteroffer of the brothers is, no, we'll all be slaves. They never took negotiations 101. So, okay, I don't know what to say. I mean, of course, I know a lot what to say on this, but it's at face value, there's something which is incredibly troubling. And that's really how we ended last week's parsha, when Yosef's response is, no, I'm more ethical than that. I would not punish an innocent person. And therefore, Binyamin stays, you go back. Of course, what they're hearing is, what do you mean you wouldn't punish an innocent person? They're screaming, he's the only one who's innocent and we're guilty. We're the ones who should be arrested. We're the ones who should be here. But you know, but they can't say that. They can't say that. And again, in terms of the whole subtext, it's very clear that what Yosef is doing is that he's giving them an opportunity. See, as much as you want to say he's leading them towards tshuva, which I do want to say and I like and so on, he's also testing them and saying, here's your excuse to walk away. All you have to do is go back to your father and say, and he'll say, where's Binyamin? And you say, Dad, we need just to sit you down right now. His mother was a thief. His mother was a loser. His mother stole the truff from all those years. And do you remember that time that we all got stopped along the road? By the way, that's part of the game that Yosef's playing. He's reminding them of the most traumatic moment of their childhood. Remember when we left and Love and Trace tracked us down and he opened up our bags and it ended up, it was really in Rachel's bag, which is, by the way, why they respond the way they respond. Exactly. Yaakov said, whoever took this will die. They say whoever took it will die. They're just going back into this memory, this traumatic memory. But they should sit Yaakov down and say, listen, she was a loser. Yosef was a loser. Binyamin is an absolute sociopath. How in the world do you go there to get food and steal the man's cup? So yeah, we turned around and left him there, and it's about time we just cut off that part of the family. Enough. We will not let that part of the family continue to ruin our lives. Get over it. By the way, that's not an easy talk to have, but you know what? You only have to have it once. Kill your father and then move on. No, but again, it's either destroying their lives or saying, enough, maspeh, chalas. And that's what they need to say. But that's what Yosef's doing for them. Yosef's giving them this opportunity to turn around and walk away. And as I said, Yehuda lies in every single thing that he says in this week's parsha. You asked us, do we have a father? And they didn't ask. They volunteered it. But it doesn't make a difference. Because everything that Yehuda's saying is true. And Yehuda really speaks in two directions. One is he's blaming everything on Yosef. Look what a terrible person you are, and look how you're ruining my father's life. Because of you, my father's in pain, because he misses the child that he loves, because of you. And I hope you all appreciate the delicious irony of that, because saying this to almost any other person in the world may work, but saying this to Yosef, there is just a certain... By the way, when it says Yosef just can't control himself any longer, like you're out of your freaking mind. How can you say this to me? How can you make believe you care so much about your father? Like, what are you talking about? I'm Yosef. I mean, I'm saying that's absolutely devastating. Now, what I really wanted to focus on today is what happens next. I mean, the whole thing that gets Yosef going is that my father had a son and he loves his son, and if you take away the son that he loves, he's going to die. Okay, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? That's it. That's devastating. There's nothing left to say. So then what does Yosef say? So let's begin with source number two. V'lo yachal Yosef l'tapek l'kol nitzavim alav, v'yikra otzi kol ish me'alai, v'lo omad ish ito b'tvadei Yosef elachav. Yosef could no longer control himself, and he has everyone go out. Because it could have also been as he reveals himself, as he let, but hitvadeh, there is a confession. Now, there's a need for confession. Part of the need for the confession is because Yosef has actually tortured these people. By the way, don't be mistaken. I didn't say they don't deserve it. I don't say they don't deserve more. But he's tortured them. And by the way, maybe part of the question that's going to come up is, as much as they deserve to be tortured, does Yosef have the right to be the one who's torturing them? You can say yes. That Yosef has every right to take revenge. There's a beautiful Ramban that plays with this a little bit. He goes, and if he wanted to get a little revenge from his brothers, I understand it. The Ramban says it. You don't have this Ramban in front of you. It's Perek Membed Pasuk Tet. Va'afim haya ritzano litzar et achav k'tzat. And even if he wanted to torture his brothers a little bit, eich lo yachmol seivat aviv, but how could he not feel bad for his father in terms of the self-land? And this is the famous Ramban where he raises the issue in terms of why Yosef had never contacted his father over all those years, which is obviously a very, very fair question. So, how would you translate? He makes himself known. V'hitvada, he makes himself known. V'yitain et kolo bivchi. And over this point, Yosef breaks down and cries. But why does he cry now? Because it's over. The charade is over. Now he can admit who he is. He cries. V'yishmu Tzrayim, v'yishmu Beit Paro. Vayoma Yosef el Echav. Now, by the way, notice I bolded in both of those verses, 1 and 2, Aleph and Bet, it's Vitvada Yosef el Echav. And it's over here, it's Yosef el Echav. These are his brothers. But then he says something which he did not have to say it the way that he did. Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. So there was a better way of saying it.
Our father.
The better way of saying it is our father still alive, not is my father still alive. And that may begin... Again, to be sensitive, is my father still alive is not the most politic way to say it. If the objective over here is to heal the relationship with his brothers. Now, that's, I think, is part of the question that we need to ask ourselves. Is Yosef trying to heal this relationship? And if he is, what are going to be the contours of this relationship as far as Yosef is concerned? And is it going to be one where Yosef is looking for fraternity, brotherhood, and I'm going to add one more word, and totally equality. He is one among 12, and we're all going to be the same. Or as we get to this point moving forward, now that Yosef has his brothers there, he's accomplished something which we discussed a little bit last week, and that was they all bowed down to him, but they didn't know it was him. So if they bowed down to him and didn't know it was him, did they really bow down to him? So now... he's going to say, so I'm Yosef. So is he going to look for fraternity and brotherhood and turn the clock back to the moment before Yaakov showed favoritism, to the moment before he got the coat, to the moment before he revealed the dreams? And by the way, for that matter, I can ask another question. You know, we accuse the brothers of talking too much, and why in the world did Yosef feel it was so important to tell this dream to them? If you're going to say that it's prophecy, so I can begin to understand, and the Ramban seems to go in that direction, whether he uses the word or not. If you're going to say it's manifest destiny, this is the way it has to be, so why say it? Let it happen. Which means, why was this so important to say it? And just think about the dreams themselves. I am Yosef, and you will all bow down to me. I am Yosef, you will all be subservient to me. I am Yosef, and I'm the one who, my money will take care of you one day. Which means, is Yosef at this point saying, let's roll the clock back to when we were all little kids and so on? Or is Yosef saying, okay, now that we're here, now that we've been gathered over here, you know, together, what exactly will be this relationship that we're going to have? So I'm just saying this again. For Yosef to start off and saying, I am Yosef, ha'od avi chai, v'lo yichu echav lanot oto. Okay, they were shocked. V'yom Yosef el echav, I'm Yosef, your brother. By the way, there's many other things he could have said in terms of the proof or the evidence, and this is how you'll know that it's me. But what he says is, you know, I'm Yosef, the one who you stole. So therefore, right away, in the first two words or sentences that Yosef says to them, is my father still alive? That could be, listen, they were under enormous pressure the moment before he revealed himself. At this point, is there no longer any pressure, or is there a different type, or is it a different type, and perhaps even increased pressure? which means the revelation. Oh, guess what? This guy was Yosef. Wow, what a funny thing that turned out to be. You know, this was, you know, will they tell their grand? This is the funniest thing happened. We went to Egypt by food, and guess who turned out to be the guy selling the food? That was Yosef. Well, guess who the guy was who tortured us and practically gave us all heart attacks. And it was the most cruel thing that we've ever experienced in our lives. By the way, I'm going to say it again. I didn't say they don't deserve it. I don't say they don't deserve worse. I'm just saying that they went through an extremely difficult situation, and there was somebody who engineered it every single step of the way, who knew every single pressure point, who knew every single button to push, who knew everything to say to them, and he did. And that was Yosef. So now, after knowing it's Yosef, and now going back and thinking about the events of the past year, more or less, ever since they came the first time for food, and start playing through all the conversations in their mind again, and the whole time this was Yosef, and the whole time this was Yosef, and we bowed down to him, and we this, and we had to beg in front of him, and he arrested us, and he threw us into prison, and he planted the money in our bags, and he planted the cup in our bags, and he made believe he was so smart because he knew how to sit us around the room, and every single thing that he's done to us has been a game. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Does Yosef have the right to play the game? By the way, that's the interesting question. Okay. Revenge is sweet. Revenge is sweet till the day after you took revenge. Let's continue. Exactly. I didn't say they don't deserve it. What I said is that how do they deal with the fact that it's Yosef who's the one who is meeting this out and has been playing a charade and has been manipulating them emotionally and in every way, and also doing some nice things to his father along the way as well. And talk about the collateral damage over here. Yaakov is the one who suffers back and forth in terms of this collateral damage, in terms of all of his sons' behavior. Let's read a little bit more. Pasuk Hey. And again, we're listening very carefully. You know how carefully we should be listening? We should be placing ourselves in the room. You can give out roles if you want. You want to be Shimon, you want to be Levi, you want to be Reuven, you want to be, who wants to be Yehuda? Okay. Zvulun. So we can make believe we're all the brothers, and we're listening incredibly carefully to what he's going to say now. You know why? Because, you know, I said the brothers can say before that Binyamin is a lunatic. This man is out of his mind. They have no idea what's going to be the next sentence, right? Anything in the world is possible. Anything. By the way, speak about vulnerability. They're standing there in front of him, more naked than he was when they stripped him naked and threw him in the pit. He was only missing his clothing. They're just standing there having no idea what's going to happen for the next moment for the rest of their lives. Pasuk Hey. Va'ata, and now, al te'atzvu, va'al yichar b'neichem ki machartim otihena. By the way, again, don't feel so bad that you sold me. Here. Because God has sent me. By the way, this is great. You'd even do it. You're pawns. This is God's plan. There's going to be something good that comes out of all of this. And by the way, I can paint all of this into a great with great religious colors and turn Yosef into a great religious believer, which he is, by the way. Every step of the way, Yosef is a great believer, but I'm still going to say that I want you to focus on one thing, what the brothers are hearing as he says this. By the way, you didn't even do this. God did this. Because, and now this is Yosef, who's the all-knowledgeable Yosef, the one who sees the future, the one who interprets dreams, the one who knows everything, says, because 2 years of famine have gone by, and there's going to be another 5 years of famine. I want to pay attention to something. Yosef is somebody who therefore created for Egypt. You want to call it a 7-year plan, a 14-year plan, 2 7-year plans. Since Yosef sees the future. I was once with Professor Kaveh when he was the president of Bar-Ilan University, and we met with presidents of a whole bunch of different universities. And he got up and he said, he goes, most universities have a 5-year plan. He goes, we have a 50-year plan. So when we walked out of the room, I said, you realize that they now all believe that the protocols of the Elders of Zion is true. You just now told them, we have a 50-year plan and how we're going to take over the world over here. And you know, he talked about nanotechnology and everything. He goes, do you think they really heard that? I said, absolutely. There's no question whatsoever. But it's interesting because how long is the plan that he's speaking of? So Yosef, the moment he walked into Paro, developed, either 2 7-year plans or a 14-year plan, whatever you prefer. I would rather see it as 2 7-year plans. And now Yosef is within the second 7-year plan, and which is what made him so impressive to Paro. And, oh, look at this! The man sees the future. He understands what's going on. He has a plan. He's going to make me a lot of money. I mean, that's what Paro sees. This man will make me a lot of money. And now Yosef shares with them a little inside information. Okay, by the way, again, look how confident he is in his dream. And you could say, but he has every reason to be confident because they've all come true. And he goes, okay, we've already had 2 bad years, another five bad years, and you're going to have nothing to eat for those 5 years. So let's continue.
This also implies that the other dreams that I have.
Of course. That's exactly the issue, which is why he said to them, it wasn't you who sold me here to put me in this situation. He's just warming up. Pasuk Zayin, he says it again. Vayishlacheni Elokim lefanechem. God has sent me over here. This is part of my destiny. This is part, if you now prefer to use that language, this is part of the dream. This was always meant to be. Lasum lachem sheirit ba'aretz ulachiot lachem l'agdola. This was always the dream. Remember that you bow down to me to get the food? This is what God did. Do you realize what Yosef is doing right now? He's putting their face in it and saying, remember that dream that you hated me for those years before? Well, guess what? It's come true. So now, just in case, remember I raised 2 possibilities that Yosef is going to try to have this reconciliation with them? We're going to get some therapists to sit around all of them, and we're going to try to, let's try to work all of this out. And, you know, you're all brothers, and we need to work together, and fraternity is important, and getting together is important, and so on. And Yosef is right away saying, yeah, you sold me, but you didn't sell me. Who else can get a better 2 sentences than that? I'm Yosef who you sold, but you didn't really sell me. You don't even have responsibility for the good that came out of it, because that was God. You only did the bad things. The good things God did, the bad things you did. Only Yosef can put that together in such a way that, yeah, you sold me, and all the good that came out of it was God has predicted all those years ago, because those are the dreams. And of course the dreams are going to come true. And you hated me because of the dreams. Oh, by the way, you like the subtext? You hated me because of the dreams. You sold me because of those dreams. But there was a plan of God when he gets on his religious, you know, what's on his hypo, and now he starts preaching. But this was the hand of God. This is what God did. He just became a preacher on Sunday morning television.
I mean, but it makes sense.
Of course it makes sense. Of course. Stop. Finally. Oh, this made sense. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. Vayishlacheni Elokim lefnechem v'sum lachem sheirit ba'aretz v'chot lachem pleita gdola. V'ata lo atem shalachtem otihena ki ha'elokim. It's not you, it's God. You sold me, but you have no credit for this, and God was doing this, and God... By the way, do you like the speech that he's giving? One second, that was a yes or no. Do you like the speech that he's giving?
Yes.
You like it?
Yes.
Why do you like it? Every word of it is true, and I'm going to say it again. Every time Yosef talks, I get the suspicion that he's thought about this for a while. My only question is sometimes when he speaks is, has this been going on his mind for 22 years? Has this been going on for 7 years? Has this been going on for 9 years? How long has he been thinking about this particular speech? Has he rehearsed this speech? Has he looked in the mirror and he's given over the speech? Which means, I'm going to ask that other question. Was there an alternative speech that he left in the drawer that he could have given, which would have been? My dear wife.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So good. So now we realize that there's 3 possibilities. One possibility, and this is always the case, is total revenge, and part of taking revenge is you don't want to take revenge without them knowing who is taking revenge, otherwise it's not revenge. So, and let's admit one thing. If Yosef truly wished to take revenge, he could have done a far better job. He was an apprentice for the Sar HaTabachim, right? He knew about all kinds of torture. He knew about all kinds of dungeons. He knew about instruments of torture that some of your twisted minds cannot even imagine. Some of you can. Okay, so let's take the 3 roads. One road is, okay, total torture, revenge. One road is total brotherhood, not just forgiveness. Let's turn the... Another road is brotherhood, friendship, Let's start all over again. I said this is a possibility. You're saying I can't imagine this possibility. But what I'm saying is that brothers who fell into, what word do you want to use? Brothers who fell into disrepair. Is it possible to ever? 1 second. There's no going back. You are such pathetic people. So let's 1 second. Everybody quiet. Three possibilities. Revenge. One extreme. Total brotherhood. The other extreme. And then the choice that Yosef actually chooses, which is neither. Yosef doesn't go for either. There could be a facade of one, there could be a facade of the other, there could be language of one, but so far everything that Yosef has done is really interesting. Again, I hope that you appreciate the words that he's saying, because every word that he says is another word he could have used. Abba.
Yeah, it's interesting to note the manipulation in terms of he's saying, and now you're under me, I'm the boss, but he puts it in a positive way, and I have put here to keep you alive. So it's putting it in a positive way, but the negative part of it is very evident.
Right. Okay, so we don't have to say anything else today, so that was it. that's what he does, yes. I'm sorry. Listen, I know what's really going on in the room right now. Everyone's working through their own sibling relationships right now. It's good that we all have the opportunity for some group therapy over here. I hope somebody's going to send a bill afterwards. So let's try this again. They haven't spoken yet. Okay? They have not spoken yet. Why have they not spoken yet? For two reasons. One is they can't. Like, nothing is coming out. And the other reason is Yosef is talking, and they're listening very carefully to what he says because they have no idea what's coming next. What may come next is they get to meet, I never remember, was it the crocodiles or the alligators? They may spend some quality time in a moat, right? So they have no idea what happens next. Okay, that's really important. But now Yosef is speaking. Is Yosef a passive aggressive? Not a passive aggressive. What is he? The fact that he's manipulative, that we knew. Have you paid attention for the last 2 weeks? Okay, let's continue. It's never about him. With Yosef, when he speaks, it's only about him. It's not about them. Let's continue. Pasuk Chet we just now read. Well, let's read Chet. Va'ata lo atem shalachtem oti heina ki elokim. We read the first part. It's not you. God sent me here. V'yasimeni la'av l'paro ladon l'kol beito u'moshel b'kol eretz Mitzrayim. By the way, did they know all this already? Yeah. Did he have to say it to them?
No.
Apparently. In case you haven't noticed, my current rank is that I am the Moshel, I am the most important person over here. And once again, what does this take us back to? It takes us back to the dreams that he's putting their face in it, or faces in it. He is forcing this issue. So I'm going to say it again. When I raised the question of that with three possibilities, torture, it's still open, total brotherhood, it's not happening. Even though he keeps saying words like as if it's happening, but let's just pay attention how he continues to say it.
But this
pasuk
is not true.
Avrech, karulo avrech, av leparo. He's basing himself on that, karulo avrech, whatever that may mean. Pasuk tet. Maharuva lu el avi. He just did it again. What could he have said?
Our
father. Right? When he said, is my father still alive, he could have said, Od avinu chai. Right? It's a song even. But he doesn't choose that. Od avinu chai. Od avi chai. Od avinu chai is what he could have said. Over here again, Maharuva lu el avi. Va'amartem elav. By the way, you can pay attention later. Do they actually say exactly what he says? Ko amar bincha Yosef. You like this? Thus spoke. Ko amar bincha Yosef. Samani ulokim la'adon l'kol Mitzrayim. Thus spoke Yosef, and God has made me a master over all of Egypt. If you're the brothers right now, are you loving this? Again, it could be worse. That's the only thing. It could be worse. But God has placed me. Rida elai. Al Tamod, come to me. By the way, he's ordering his father. He's used to giving orders. Come, this is come. Rada Eli Al Tamod, v'yashavta be'eretz Goshen, v'yita karov Eli, ata uvanecha uvnei vanecha. It's great. Ata uvanecha. There's a lot of aggression. There's a lot of aggression in Yosef's speech. And so if you'll ask me, so what happened this year? I mean, in terms of, I started reading his speech, and I just knew that he could have done this. I'm not justifying, but let's pay attention. But so, next pasuk, Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph is very important as well. Because Yud Aleph could also be read in two ways. The right way and the wrong way. V'chilkalti otcha sham, ki od chamesh shanim ra'av. And I will take care of you. Because for another 5 years, there's going to be pasuk Yud Gimel, v'gadatim la'avi, it's called kfodi. You will tell my father about all of my honor, b'mitzrayim, but kol asher ra'itim, u'mihartim ra'itim et avi heina. How many times does he have to use the word avi over here till you get the point that he is not looking for brotherhood? Pasuk Yudalid. Yudalid is going to, and Tetvav are interesting, so pay attention to them. Do you all remember that when Yaakov comes down, it says that Yosef cries and kisses him? And it says Yaakov didn't, and then Rashi gives us a firm reason because it was, oh, it's time to say Shema. Okay, I got to say Shema now. So let's keep that in mind and read the next two psukim. Vayipolot Tzavarei Binyamin Achiv. He falls on the neck of his brother Binyamin Vayefk, and he cries. Uvinyamin Bacha Al Tzavarav. And Binyamin cries on him, on his neck. Tedvav. Vayinashek Likol Echav Vayefk Alehem. And he kisses all of his brothers, and he cries on them. And then they speak to him. They don't cry. They don't kiss. They're stone cold. And that's what's really interesting over here. They're paralyzed. Absolutely. But I'm just saying is that when you see their lack of reaction compared to Binyamin's reaction is because, of course, Binyamin is there with different emotional baggage than they are. And they are, at this point, absolutely paralyzed. But also, they don't feel that they can kiss, they don't feel that they can even cry, which is interesting. It's that, meaning they are so overwhelmed at this point, but who has overwhelmed them this way? Yosef. I mean, Yosef, again, has done this. So who's crying? Yosef. Because it's all about Yosef. I have my right to cry now. I've forgiven you, I have a right to cry, I have a right to do whatever I want. It's all about Yosef. Of course it does. Of course it does, but let me try to make a little progress over here. And then he goes ahead and he gives them all clothing, but to Binyamin he gives more. So there's going to be a lack of equality. Deal with it. And to his father, again, La'aviv, it's again, a different word could have been used, but now you didn't expect it to happen. He sends more things and so on and so forth. Again, giving orders, telling them what to do. Vayelu Mitzrayim, vayevu Eretz Kanan, El Yaakov Avihim, vayegidu lo leimor, od Yosef chai, v'chihu Moshel b'kol Eretz Mitzrayim. You can compare back if that's exactly what he'd asked them to say. They did not go as far as he wanted them to. They stated the facts, but not exactly as dramatically as he wants. Yeah, don't get into a fight. Now I'm going to tell you what. Now I'm going to tell you what to think. I'm going to tell you how to feel. I'm going to tell you how to behave. Why? Because I'm in charge. And along the way, Yosef is going to do another thing. He's going to tell them, listen, there's another five, he told them, there's another 5 years, and I'm going to give you food. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to tell you where to live. If you're Yosef, look how benevolent I am. Look how forgiving I am. If you're the brothers, remember the Rambam's laws or the levels of tzedakah? What's the highest level of tzedakah? Yeah. A relatively lower level of tzedakah is to give somebody everybody they need. But you just now, what's the exact word? You've infantilized them. Because I'm your older brother. I'm the Bechor. I'm the one who's in charge. And you're all incapable of really doing anything. And I'm the one who's going to give you food. So even when Yosef is taking care of him, so that's why I ask about the passive aggression over here. That even when Yosef is taking care of him, he's making them feel completely, it's beholden, but it's worse than that. Inferior. And again, there is this great manipulation. But for Yosef, what's the motivation? Well, the dreams have to come true. Now, when we go over to Yaakov and we see what happens to in Yaakov's whole response, we'll begin to hopefully see the difference. They come to Yaakov, and initially we're told, Kav Zayin, Vaydibur Lav, it's called Divrei Yosef, Ashadibur Lein, Vayarat Agalot, Asher Shalach Yosef, Lesetoto, and he sees the Agalot, Vatichi Ruach Yaakov Avihim. And Yaakov's spirit returns. If you look very quickly, Targum Onkelos does something unusual, because he's usually quite literal. But what's interesting here is what he considers to be literal. Source 5, he writes, they tell him all the things at the end of Source 5 in Onkelos. Ushrat ruach nivuah al Yaakov avuhin. Vatichi ruach, and his spirit returned. And they write, no, his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh, his nivuah comes back. So now Yaakov and Yosef have now just become equals, but it's not really true. because as much as Yosef likes to say, I see the future and see what's going on, now Yaakov is immediately afterwards, what's going to happen is, Pasuk Aleph, which is source number 11, Vayisai Yisrael, and also notice the name has been shifted over here, Vayisai Yisrael v'chol shelo v'yavo be'er shava, v'yizbach zvachim l'elokei avi Yitzchak, and he brings offerings, v'yomer lokim li'Yisrael. And now, notice, God has not spoken to him in all of this time. God has not spoken once to Yaakov, which is the reason that we can say, no, pshat, Rashi also said, pshat is that now he got his nevuah back. And God says, Yisrael, this is going to be the, this is the real interesting pasuk with the Yaakov-Yisrael divide. Vayomer lokim liyisrael b'mero talay, levayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer hineni. Vayomer nochi akel elokei avicha al tira. By the way, whenever my kids say, don't worry, I worry. Al tira mirdav mitzrayma. I'm going to make you a great nation there. So what did God just now tell him? What does Yaakov now know? You're going to be there a long time. Which means, what does he now know? This is the Brit Bein Abtarim. This is the slavery. Yaakov was just now talking. So you see what's interesting? Yosef, who sees the future, he sees another 5 years. And Yaakov sees someplace between 210 to 400 years. And that's the difference between Yosef's dreams and Yaakov's nevuah. Which means we have course purposes over here, and for all of Yosef's, but no, this was God's will, and I'm going to take care of you, and there's 5 more years of this. Yaakov is going to come down to the exact same situation, and he's going to meet Yosef, and there's going to be this. But Yaakov knows something that they don't know, or at least Yaakov's in touch with something which other people don't, meaning you have people that are just worried about, where am I getting my next meal? And then you have Yaakov worried about, you know, what's going on, and God continues, and he says to him, Anochi Areid Imcha, Pasuk Dalid, I'm going to go down with you. Mitzrayim of Anochi Alocha, and I'm going to bring Gamalo, and I'm going to bring you back out of here. But Yosef, Yoshit Yado Alinecha. And Yosef is the one who's going to be with you, he's going to be with you when you die. And of course, when he says, I'm going to bring you there, I'm going to bring you out, we don't know what that means. We don't know if that means you, and he's talking to Yaakov, and we don't know if he means you, and he's talking to Am Yisrael. Which means, is God saying right now, there's going to be, you're going down there the rest of your life, that's it, and you're going to die, but I'm going to take you out, you'll be buried. I mean, is that as narrow as God is saying to him? Or did God just now say, there's going to be a very long galut, but I will be with you during that galut, and during this exile, the Shechina will be in exile as well as it is. But what I'm pointing out over here is that Yaakov's perception is one of a Klal Yisrael perception, which of course includes everybody. And Yosef's entire perception is one which is very self-centered. And I'll almost say, because then I can deny that I said it when I said I can almost say, is one of narcissism. And it's the narcissism of Yosef which Chazal identify. Rashi said it twice in the last couple of chapters. Do you remember when? Rashi said it right away in Perek Lamed Zayin, almost immediately when Yosef was introduced, Eila Teildot Yaakov Yosef, and the end of that pasuk says, V'hu na'ar et b'nei Bilhah v'bnei Zilpah. So what does it mean, hu na'ar? So na'ar is somebody who's a young person, who's a child, and Rashi over here writes that he behaves in a childish way. V'hu na'ar shahaya ose ma'asen na'arut. He acts in an immature way, mitaken v'sa'aro, umimashmesh be'enav, kidei she'nir'a yafeh. That Yosef was very concerned what he looks like, and he acted very immaturely, because for Rashi, certainly for a male, to be looking in the mirror and looking how he looks and so on, he just finds incredibly immature. But there's also, but I want to stress that immaturity over here is a certain type of narcissism. Later on in Perek Lamed Tet, it's going to come back again. It's the second time in Parshat Vayeshev, and over there it is Vayihi Yosef Yifei Toar V'Yifei Mareh, and this is the next pasuk, is Eshet Potiphar is about to go after him. Kevin, Rashi writes, Kevin Shiratz Mamoshal, once he saw that he's in charge, Hitchil Ochel V'Shota U'Meselsel B'Sa'aro, and he starts to take care of his looks. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avicha mit Abel v'ata misasel b'sarecha. Your father's in pain and you're fixing up your hair? How can you behave in such a way? Ani megarebecha et hadov. Miyad v'tisa eshet inav. I'm going to send the bear after you. The bear is the this nice lady, Lady Bear. So both times Chazal are identifying something which is a bit narcissistic about Yosef. And if we pay attention, in next week's parasha, Yaakov at some point identifies it as well. By the brachot, it says, Vayar Yosef, you don't have this, Vayar Mem Chet Chet, Vayar Yosef et Bnei Yosef, Vayar Yisrael Bnei Yosef. Rashi writes, Bikesh Levarchem, he wanted to bless them, V'nistalka Shechina Bimenu. I mean, all the time Yaakov keeps losing his prophecy. Why? Lefisha Tid Yeravam V'achav Letzeit Me'afrayim, V'yehu V'navi Menashe, V'yom Mi Eile, Me'heichen Yatsu Eile, She'enem Ori Lebracha. Yaakov looks at the descendants of Yosef and says, where in the world do these people come from? Who are these people? See, I want to stress something. This negative side of Yosef, this narcissism, this self-centeredness, is something which the brothers had always seen. See, Yosef is complex. Yosef is incredibly complicated. Yosef is incredibly competent. Yosef is incredibly religious. He is truly a religious individual. He's a person that will speak of God when a woman is there trying to seduce him. He'll speak of God when he's about to get credit for his intellect. He says to Paro, no, this is God. He says all along the way, God is on his mouth, God is in his mind, God is in his heart. Which means that's why Yosef is such an interesting religious individual, more so probably than any other person in Bereshit, at least it comes out. Of course, you can question, why does it keep coming out of his mouth? God is doing this. God is in charge of him. God is leading him here. God took him here. God gave him this job. God, meaning, everything is God. But you realize at least sometimes that may come off a little self-serving. And see, that's what the brothers hear. The brothers only see the narcissism. The brothers only see the negativity. Yaakov sees the positive. Oh, look at the competence. Look how religious he is. Look how good he is. And then when he sees the descendants of Yosef, that's why it's so interesting. He sees, where in the world did Yeravam come from? Yeravam who helps break up the Davidic dynasty. For all that they accuse Yosef, I mean, that's what's interesting. I'm not convinced it's early sources. I think it's later sources that say that Yosef was Morid b'Malchut. Those have some earlier. But when they say they put him on trial for this, I don't believe that's an early source. I believe that's only a late source. But for Morid Malchut, he rejected the Davidic dynasty. He rejected the dynasty of Yehuda. Why would Chazal say that about Yosef? Because Yeravam did. Which means, is it fair to judge Yosef through a descendant, generations in the future?
But you can see retroactively.
Meaning the brothers see, that's exactly the tragedy in all this. The brothers only see the negative, and Yaakov only sees the positive, and the reality is that Yosef is both. Yosef is both the negative and the positive, and Yosef himself does actually a wonderful job in his life of pushing all the negative aside and being somebody who's a wonderful, inspiring religious leader. But you can't help but notice this whole last speech that he gave was really quite self-serving and proving the point to them. And the tragedy of Yosef is the brothers never trusted him. And to the very day, you know, when Yaakov dies, okay, they're waiting. They're waiting for the other shoe to fall. They're waiting for something. They're waiting. They know. They know that because they only see the negative. You know, one of my favorite articulations of this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Bet. And this, I think, is the strongest one. Again, you don't have this in front of you. This was much later last night. Achar hadavar hazeh, lo shav Yeravam midar kor ra'ah. Among the various things that Yeravam is accused of, is he accused. It says that he has this other nation, and then he holds it. But if they go to the Beit HaMikdash, so then I'll lose my leadership. So then he builds another temple, and he puts up two egels, if that's plural for egel. If you know, even if you read the Midrashim that Rashi quotes about the Chet HaEgel, Yosef has got somehow got dragged. How did Yosef get dragged into the Chet HaEgel? Because of Yeravam. Because Yeravam is going to end up building two egels. Agalim. The Gemara quotes and says, Achar devar zeh lo shav Yeravam midar kor ra'ah. Yeravam never returned from his negative behavior. May achar. Rabbi Abba, achar shetavsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yeravam bivigdo. After he dragged him from his clothing. That's a narrative, on the one hand, right out of the Yosef narrative, right? That she grabbed him from his clothing. She grabbed him big dough. But later on, the clothing is within the prophecy itself. When you're of him, when the country will be ripped in half. So it's interesting over here how a theme which was used earlier on, now gets utilized over here in this Agadah, but now it's Yeravam, it's not Yosef. What does Yosef say when she grabs him from his clothing? This would be a sin against God. This would be a sin against my master. How can I repay such good behavior with such bad behavior? Such kindness with bad behavior. This is Yosef at his greatest. But Yeravam gets dragged by his clothing. Va'amrlo, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Chazor b'cha. Because Yeravam is messed up, and God says, no, come back home. Chazor b'cha, come. You had a great role in history. Time to live up to it. Vaniva ata uven yishai netayel b'gan Eden. I've never heard a greater offer made. Ani, God says, Ani va'ata, me and you, uben yishai, Mashiach, netayel b'gan Eden. We're going to go for a stroll in the Garden of Eden. Omer lo, Yeravam says to God, mi barosh, who's first? Omer lo ben Yishai barosh. It's a ridiculous question. How can you say, God's first? You see the incredible humility of God. Who's first? So he says, ben Yishai. Ihachi lo ba'ina. If that's the offer, thank you, but no thank you. And that's Yeravam. That's the narcissism of Yeravam. So part of what Chazal see is that the narcissism of Yeravam is the negative, you want to call it the klipa, it's this negative energy which the brothers see, meaning that will explain this whole problem. Every time the brothers see Yosef, they see Yeravam. Every time they see him, they see somebody who's divisive, somebody who's going to rip apart the people, somebody who doesn't care about the rest of them, somebody who only cares about himself, somebody who can end up doing idolatry, somebody who is every single sin imaginable Yosef is guilty of. And when Yaakov looks at Yosef, he sees the man who has the capability and the fortitude to turn to Eshet Potiphar and say, please. Please, how can I do such a thing? I'm saying, but it's only Yosef who can speak like this. Only Yosef can speak to Paro and say, God is telling you what the future is. Which means within Yosef is both of these potentials. And Yosef himself is able to control the negative and to live in the positive, but it doesn't mean that there's not something there, which Chazal keep pointing at. Look, he's concerned with what he looks like. There is this narcissism, there is this self-centeredness. And when you look at that you look at this speech that Yosef gives, the entire speech is self-serving. The entire speech has an agenda to it. The agenda is, the dreams have come true. Deal with it. I am who I told you I am. I am this superior individual. We are not equals. But I'll take care of you. But when I take care of you, I prove that we are not equals. I will tell you what to do. I will tell you what to think. I will tell you how to act. But we are not equals. This is my father. I am the true son. And all of you are here just for me to feel good about, for me to give a little tzedakah. You are the people who will make me feel good because I need to give and take care of my brothers. So you're the ones who will make me feel that I am superior by you being inferior, and that's why I need you. And those are the rules that Yosef puts in front of them, which is why we see that we can move all the way to the end of Bereshit with this incredible, complex, tragic figure. He is somebody who really is a tzaddik, but there seems to be some kind of difficulty in terms of interpersonal relationships for the very simple reason because he doesn't think that they are equals. Because they're not. And who's the one who has put this in his mind from the very beginning? Yaakov. I just want to end with one really interesting Kli Yakar. And I think the Kli Yakar can even be understood on different levels than we are putting it. So at least this way you don't feel bad that I've printed up all of these pages for nothing. Source number 3. The Kli Yakar quotes himself. I think I did that a couple times today, right? So the Kli Yakar quotes himself, and he writes, "Uvechiburi olulot Ephraim." Now this Kli Yakar will be based upon the thing. Yaakov looks up and sees the agalot, and he says, "Ah, this must be true." And then we have this great midrash Gemara. He goes, oh, the last thing they learned together was the parasha of Egla Arufa, Agalot, Egla. Egla Arufa, of course, is what happens when you find a dead body. So then you go and you measure from the city, see which city is closest, and this will be the backdrop of this Kli Yakar. Uvechiburi alulot Ephraim amar tofkuf lamed gimel bi'arnu ki lamad min parasha Egla Arufa she Yosef chai. That because of the recollection of studying Egla Arufa, notice the Egel is there again, the Egla, that's a little haunting also. Ki kamo shemodidim midida gashmit lerot la'ezi ir karova halal ulpslot avon boto ir. That what do? You measure to see which city has responsibility based upon geographic proximity. Kach modidim hasa'ara umidida sichlit be'eza avon meitze im ba'avon atzmo. That he goes that there is a religious or spiritual conclusion from this, that you use this to measure and to look deep inside and say, for which sin that I did, you measure and say, which thing that I did made me deserving of this. O bavon b'nei iro, u'mishu karov biyoter, ela chalal tlopo im tzorach kapara. Alken shalach li yosef parshat egla ruva, kedei shemitocha yitbonen Yaakov, eza chet garam lo, liyakov liot b'tzer kol yim me'ele. He sent him Egla Ruva so that Yaakov can go and start measuring and drawing the conclusion. Now, what did I possibly do to have deserved this? We all know the answer. The answer is favoritism, which now you have to... Now, was that the conclusion that Yosef wanted him to draw? But that's, I think, just based upon the Kli Yakar saying, we can draw that conclusion. And Yaakov comes to the conclusion that I left my father for 22 years and I didn't take care of my father, and that's why I lost my favorite son. But I'm saying, just taking this approach of the Kli Yakar and saying, let's use this. But by the way, this is very dangerous. This doesn't mean that I have the right to tell you what sin you did. This means is that a person needs to look inside at themselves and say, why did I possibly deserve this? And as interesting as the Kli Yakar says, oh, it must be because of this coincidence or not, of the 22 years of Yosef being separated from his father and Yaakov being separated from his father, and say, well, maybe that's the reason this happened, but maybe it's not Yaakov's relationship with his father which caused this. Maybe it's Yaakov's relationship with his son which caused this. Correct. Absolutely. Which means, I'm going to say it again and we'll conclude, that we have the end of our tragic story. You can decide if this was a happy ending or not. It's the ending that Yosef wanted, and Yosef gets to dictate all the terms. The ending is that the dreams come true, to whatever extent they did. But that's his whole point. The dreams have come true. His entire point is, look, you bow down to me, and I give you food, and those are the rules. And you, right, if you want brisker terminology, you're the cheftza of my benevolence. That's what the brothers have now become. You are the ones that I will take care of, because you need to bow down to me, because that's part of the dreams. And every single thing about Yosef's revelation to his brothers is one of the exclusive relationship with his father, is one of, look at the position that I'm in, and we are not equals, we are not brothers, complete vindication, which means that as we end this story, there were three possibilities. Total revenge, and who knows, unimaginable torture, death. That was one possibility. Yosef chooses the high road. But it also could have been total brotherhood. But that's not what was chosen. Mm-hmm. And maybe we would have preferred that. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, I think we would have preferred that. But Yosef chooses something else. Yosef chooses that day, all those years ago, when he had that dream and he woke up and he said, this is what's going to happen. And look, this is what's going to happen. But part of the tragedy is that Yosef only sees 5 years in the future. Mm-hmm. Yaakov now comes down. According to that Medrash, correct, that when Yaakov comes, things change, right? Even that, he may not have been correct. But he only sees 5 years into the future. But on the other hand, you look at Yaakov, and Yaakov looks so much further into history, and God is so much further into history, and there's such a bigger story going on over here. And unfortunately, that's exactly what I was going to say. In this larger story, the pain of the Sinat Chinam never does disappear. And I leave this as an open question. Could have Yosef have handled this differently? And maybe this whole Sinat Chinam could have been handled differently. And maybe it would not have existed still had Yosef had this reconciliation in somewhat of a different way.